Okay, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. My sister Donna had a doll one time, and this is just as toys were becoming mechanized and doing everything that babies were supposed to do, only in a very jagged way, I guess. The doll walked, and then when it took a few steps, it would stop and say something stupid, and then it would walk a little bit more, and you could hear all the gears grinding, the noise of the doll as it was doing it, so you have this effect of as the doll was walking, and then it started talking again, and I guess Donna wanted the attention. And so she would always set this up on the floor near where my father was studying. And this didn't go over real well. And I remember him, one of his often used phrases was, "Give it a rest, Donna, give it a rest." And the idea was, and of course she didn't understand, but he explained it when others came to her defense. And, well, she has to play, she's just a kid. He explained, well, if you keep using the batteries without a let-up, they're going to burn up faster. The heat's going to wear those batteries down. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know, but it sounded good at the time, and I guess most of us went along with that. There's an application to real life, though. Just as with that doll, walking, talking, doing whatever dolls did, there's an application to the Christian life as we walk, we talk, we do things throughout the day. There comes a point at which the batteries really start wearing down unless we take a rest. What I want to share with you today is how we can rest without taking a vacation. A lot of people have the idea, you know, I'm gone 7 days a week, I'm doing this, that, and something else, and so I need to take off. And you know, I've heard it every year when people come back, oh, I need a vacation from my vacation. Because of the travel involved, the driving, the hassle of getting there, whatever it is, it seems that a lot of people come back just as stressed as when they left. So God came up with this amazing thing of a complete rest. And it doesn't just involve kicking up and, you know, just putting your feet up on the couch and resting for 7 days. It involves the total person. And this is what Jesus had to offer in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. He invites people to come to him. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." Now, when you have an awful lot on you, when somebody says, "Man, I got a whole bunch on me," are they talking about physical right there? In most cases. No, when people talk about having an awful lot on them, they're generally talking about mentally, emotionally, things like that. Heavy laden. But now there is a part here, you know, when it talks about ye that labor. Well, that's talking more about the physical, isn't it? So, in this statement that Jesus gave, and a lot of people miss the whole thing because both the physical and the spiritual are involved, he's talking about body, soul, and spirit. "Come unto me, and I will give you rest." Now, in the Old Testament, we have a pattern that was given to Israel where God said, on the Sabbath day, you keep it holy, it's a day of rest. A day of rest. And in that day of rest, if you study the scriptures carefully, what you'll find is it wasn't just a day where you cease from physical labor. We all know if you have a brain, you're using it. You're working that brain during the week. If you have a spirit, a soul, you are involved in an awful lot of things during the week where you have to make decisions, you have to analyze things, you have to say, is this right, is that wrong? And so all those things are involved in the rest that God speaks to. Whether it is in the Old Testament, dealing with the one day a week, the Sabbath, or whether it's what he's talking about here, coming to the Lord and getting true rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, again, we see a mixture of physical and non-physical things in that next verse. So, let's tonight just take a look at some scripture that deal with this. Over in, let's go to Psalm 55. Psalm 55. I think it's pretty easy to understand about physical rest. It means not working. It means not laboring. And our bodies do need physical rest. I've heard people say, well, it just means a change of whatever you've been doing. Just do something different on that day. And there was a time when I bought into that. And I thought, well, you know, that sounds pretty good. But that isn't what the Bible says. That isn't what the Bible says at all. As a matter of fact, it talks about actually resting physically and just taking it easy. You know, if on your day of rest, you go out to the tennis court and you play tennis, your body is not getting physical rest. I mean, you may be doing something else, but your body is not doing physical rest. You may be a bricklayer during the rest of the week, and you decide, all right, on Sunday I'm going to go fishing. Well, you have to get the boat, haul it down, get it into the water. A lot of times you have to do some paddling and whatever, and it's amazing how many people come back from boat trips having to take another rest for some injury that they've caused, twisting in the wrong way or whatever. But that isn't physical rest either. Physical rest means, hey, take the batteries out. Relax. Take it easy. Now, some of the things that we're going to talk about, I know we're predisposed already to say, I can't do it. I can't do it. And we're not, keep in mind, we're not talking about a Sabbath day. We're talking about something completely different. We're talking about resting of the body, soul, and spirit that applies to people when they need this. Because sometimes the Sabbath day isn't enough. And I'm not talking about taking it easy all the time, but we have to look at the spiritual rest. And this is what I want you to see here. Psalm 55 and verse 6. David said, and I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest. How did he picture getting away from trouble? Flying away. Flying away. Getting away from it. Now, he's a king. Had a huge amount of responsibility on his shoulders. Do you think there ever was a time when David said, okay, enough. The kingdom isn't going to collapse if I take a day off and I just don't think about kingly things. I don't think about the tax base. I don't think about inscripting in the army. I don't think about the new building plan for Jerusalem. One day, if I can just get away like a dove, then I could have rest. In each area, physical, in the soul, and in the spirit, we have issues that keep us working. Things that will wear us out prematurely. Things that ultimately will pull us down and destroy us. We don't know what goes on in the minds of some people. How many of you have heard of this group up in New York where they beat these boys and killed one of them. The other's in serious condition in the hospital. Have any of you heard about this on the news? Okay, this is a church up in New York. Just happened last week. And they brought these boys in, and after a service, they started beating them. And like I said, one was killed, one's still in serious condition, another one injured. But they came up with this thing that they were all involved in witchcraft, and so by beating them, it was going to solve the thing. You know, that isn't the way that you handle a situation like that. I was reading some of the comments of people who knew and actually were in the church years ago, and they said everything was great, everything was fine. We never had any of that. But two people came back in, and these were the leaders. They basically took over the church, and they decided this is what we need to do, because they came under such stress that, you know, people had left, they had moved, and it was just a really hard thing on them. And they decided this is what we have to do. We have to beat these kids because the devil's in them. And, you know, they're going into witchcraft and stuff like that. Obviously, this is not fundamental Christianity. This is not Bible-based Christianity. And you wonder, or at least I do, what leads a person to do stupid things like this? I mean, foolish, evil things. A lot of times, it's because of stress. They have so much responsibility on them. You hear about people snapping, just going crazy. And this is what you find. When a person spiritually does not get rest, a lot of times they don't think too clearly. And a lot of times people make bad decisions. Down through the years, I've known a lot of people who, because they had a lot of things on them spiritually, they got tired of battling, they got tired of making decisions, and they wanted to throw up their hands. And instead of going to the Lord and turning these things over to God, they just had all that weight upon them. And they snapped. They snapped. This is a real tragedy, because when we fight our battles, we need to be able to do it well. One of the things in the military that they teach at the war college is that you need to wear out your enemy. If you can't just flat out defeat them, wear them out. Wear them out. And some of you know what that is, because spiritually the devil has attacked you at different times in your life, and you know that you just get worn out. You're just willing to go along with whatever happens, whatever new ideology comes along, and you catch yourself later on, but at the time, you feel justified because, hey, you've been in this spiritual battle for so long, and you didn't get any rest. There's no rest for your souls. What is it that causes the soul and the spirit to work harder? One of the main things is temptations. Can you find a day where you don't get tempted at all? I mean, if you turn on television, aren't there temptations on TV? Things that are thrown at you? When you read a newspaper, aren't there things on there that tempt you? You drive down the road, there are billboards that are basically nothing but temptation. They're advertising things that are wrong. And your soul and spirit, they have to battle these things in order to stay straight. You can be driving down a road. I mean, I heard this testimony of one guy. He said he got into a calendar. He said, and he says, with the stress that he was under, he's going to take a shortcut. He went down Martin Luther King Boulevard. And he said the temptation there was so great, he said he could hardly stand it. He says the pressure that he was under to pull over and buy some drugs was tremendous. But if he was refreshed, if he was rested, and his soul and spirit was happy in the Lord, that wouldn't have been much of a temptation. When does an alcoholic who has gotten victory over alcohol for 6 months, when do they go back to alcohol? When they're under stress. When they're having pressure applied to them. What about a Christian who says, okay, I've turned this over to the Lord and I'm free from alcohol. I've known people who have been free from it for years. And then you look at their lives and you see the pressure building and building and building. And you know what's going to happen because they aren't getting any refreshing. They aren't getting any rest for their soul and spirit. And so what happens is they go back to what they had before. And it's a very dangerous situation to be in. One of the biggest causes of spiritual defeat is not getting a rest in the Lord. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He wasn't just talking about salvation here. He was talking about an everyday life, even for those of us who are saved. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11. 1 Timothy chapter 6. We see God giving us an answer here on how to deal with it. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Paul writes to Timothy and he says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. How can you get away from temptation? I mean, we realize that we can be tempted of our own flesh. I mean, that's something you can't get rid of. But when it comes to getting away from the temptations of this world, and he enumerates that. You look in the next verse. he says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, fight the good fight of faith. Look at that verse above. Love of money is the root of all evil. Is that a temptation? Verse 9, the desire to be rich. They that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. Satisfaction in what you have. Verse 8, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Having stuff is a big temptation. All these things. He says, flee this. How do you do it? If you wanted to escape an enemy, you don't walk into his camp. If you want to escape temptations, you don't just say, okay, well, I'm just going to have to deal with it like I normally do. That isn't going to work because that's adding stress every day. There are places of temptation you need to stay away from. An iPod. PC. Phone. Stores. There are just so many of them. If any of those things provides a temptation for you not to live 100% for the Lord in those things, why can't you get away from them? Is it possible to get away from the phone? Yeah. Is it possible to get away from the computer? Yes. There are people who acknowledge that one of the big temptations they have is getting temptations through a computer. And this is tragic because how can you deal with it? It used to be television. Television still is bad. But the simple remedy for the television is what? Turn it off or pull the plug. Turn it off, pull the plug. You know what? For the computer, it's exactly the same thing. Pull the plug. Turn it off. Do you realize the world will still exist if you don't have the computer on for one day? It'll still exist. The world will still go on. Not only will the world go on if you unplug your PC, but if you turn your phone off for one day, guess what? The next day, the world will still be there. The world isn't going to collapse because you get away from these things. And that's what a lot of people don't seem to realize. They think, well, it is so urgent. I have to have the phone because so-and-so is liable to call. So what? So what? I mean, I see people all the time going around with a cell phone attached to their ear, and, you know, why do they need to talk to everybody? They don't have time to talk with the Lord. They're talking to everybody else so much. Why? Does that provide temptation? Sure it does. Sure it does. These are things that can be avoided. Now, I'm not talking about every day. But there comes a point at which you realize you're under tremendous stress. Get away from it. Get away from it. Get away from the temptations. Your spiritual life will be much better if you just get away from them, even for one day. Turn off the stuff. Get away from things. How about a rest for your mind? You think Jesus wanted to include that too? Does he want your mind to have a rest? Now, that doesn't mean you don't think, but it means you don't battle in your thinking. Let's go over to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Now, I want you to consider Jesus in his earthly walk. He removed himself from so many temptations over and over again. He just totally avoided them. In Luke 22, take a look at verse 39. It says, "And he came out," talking about Jesus, "and went as he was wont," or went as he was used to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. When they were at the place, he said unto them, "Pray ye that ye enter not into temptation." And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed. Why didn't he say, "Hey guys, let me put my arm around you. Let's pray together"? A lot of people think that's the only way you can pray. But you know, there comes a point at which you need to pray alone. Alone. That means without interruption, without all sorts of normal daily activities, taking your time and your attention so that your mind can be cleared and bring things to God. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. In verse 18. "It came to pass as he," talking about Jesus, "was," what's the next word?
Alone.
"Alone praying. His disciples were with him." Now, that isn't a contradiction. It means that they were like they were at the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus takes them up to a certain point, drops them off, and says, "I got to pray alone." That's what he did over and over again. Now, the rest of the time, did he pray in the presence of the disciples? Sure. But Jesus realized that there were times when he needed to get away from everybody else, all the spiritual battles going on, and just spend time fellowshipping with the Father. Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. In verse 22, "Straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there, what? Alone. Alone. You want the thoughts of your mind and heart to be brought before the Lord, to analyze. He can tell us if they're right or wrong. Sometimes we have a difficult time listening to the guidance of the Holy Spirit because there are just too many people around. Have you ever been in a situation where there were a lot of people around you and somebody was trying to talk to you and you couldn't understand what they were saying because everybody else was talking at the same time? Anybody ever been in that situation? That's the way it is when we have all the different distractions, all the different people for that matter, around us, how difficult it is to listen to the Holy Spirit. There are times that we have to get alone. There's no substitute for that. There's no way that we can artificially create this relationship with God and still constantly be surrounded by people all the time. It doesn't work. So consider Jesus. When it comes to being refreshed and having a rest for your mind, Jesus did something that we need to follow his example in. He got alone. He got alone. Now, that's not to take away from the fact there are times where we need to get together and pray, all of us. That doesn't take away from the time you need to be with your family and pray together. But I'm talking about the time when we realize I need a rest. I know that there's too much on me. I know that my mind has been battling over one thing and another, and I'm not sure which direction to take. Times like that are when we need to realize God offers us rest. But we have to do what he did, and that is to get away alone by ourselves. Now again, that requires some work on our part. Unplugging some things, getting away from certain things. And, you know, like I said at the beginning, it doesn't necessarily require that we get in a car and take off for 3 weeks. That isn't necessarily the answer. What God is telling us is that in our individual everyday lives, that here is a rest that is offered to us. Over in Hebrews chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 12. The Bible reminds us that we can have the rest that God has for us, take advantage of it, or we can be totally worn down. If we don't remember what Jesus did, then we're going to be totally worn down. In Hebrews chapter 12, take a look at verse 3. For consider him, and again, it's talking about Jesus, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. And what he's pointing out is Jesus was surrounded by people who were constantly against him. Scribes and Pharisees were there at almost every point trying to find some fault with Jesus. They'd go into the synagogue, not to worship, but to find what they could find against Jesus, if they could. Of course, they couldn't. Everywhere he went, there were people that opposed him, people that objected to him, whether it was the Romans or the Jews or whoever. And he was constantly bombarded by this. Of the 12 disciples, there was one who from the beginning was crooked and a liar and a thief. Jesus knew that, and everywhere he went, he tagged along. You don't find Jesus taking Peter, Paul, and Judas when he went to pray. There were times he said, I got to go away from all this. There are times I have to spend alone. And the very same thing applies to us. Some people fail to renew their minds because they fail to see that the comfort of God, the rest of God, that he offers to us applies to body, soul, and spirit. In Romans chapter 12, most of you probably know this by heart, this particular scripture. Romans chapter 12. Verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now here, first part here is, you know, don't get involved with a world where you can't sacrifice your life, your physical body. So he's dealing there with the peace of committing ourselves physically to the Lord. But then, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Our mind, the renewing of our minds. How can you do that? How can you do that? It's very similar to an oil change. Anybody here ever watch somebody do an oil change? Okay, they pull the car up. Now, do you leave it running? You turn it off for an oil change, don't you? You turn it off. Well, the car can't go anywhere, can it? Well, it isn't functioning the way it normally does then. But you turn it off. And what do? They open up an area that lets all the oil drain out. The old stuff. It's filled with dirt and sludge. And they capture all that so it won't destroy the environment. And then they put the thing back in, make it tight, and then they pour new oil, clear, pure oil in, and fill it back up again. Then they say, okay, crank the engine now. And they do. And doesn't sound any different, still sounds like the same car. You sit in it just like did the car that you brought there to have the oil changed, and everything else seems the same except for one thing, and that is, that engine has just been renewed. It's been made ready for the next 3,000 or 7,000 miles, depending on what kind of oil you put in it. God does the same thing with us. There are times when we need to come before Him, and all the sludge that's been there for so long that's causing us distress, all the things that have built up over time need to be drained. We need to bring that before the Lord. And watch what He does. After He lets that drain and all that is gone, then He puts new oil. It's a refilling. It's a renewal of our minds. So then we can go. And go safely. And you know, we're going to last a lot longer that way. Just like a car would. This is what God wants us to do. There are some people who fail to do that, and as a result, they see a premature destruction. You know, you get somebody that buys a car and they never change the oil, it won't last long. It won't last long. And it's the same way with our minds. If we don't renew our minds, it's not going to last long. You're going to have an effect on your mind. It's going to be wearing. The stress and everything else that's been built up, all the sludge and garbage and filth that you've heard about and have become acquainted with, it's all going to be there, and it's just going to build up over time. Your mind isn't going to last like God wants it to. Now, memory can hurt your restfulness. Sometimes we say, okay, I'm just going to get by myself and the Lord, and I'm not going to do any physical labor today. I'm just going to take it easy, and I'm just going to fellowship with the Lord and pray. But then you have memory. I think one of the chief obstacles that we bring up ourselves that hinders real rest is our memories. There are people who they think back about this person or that person and what they've done to them. They think about, I just think back about somebody that I miss, that I love so much, and they're not there anymore, and that they think back about all these things. Memory can really clog your mind. When it comes to memory, the one thing that God wants you to remember if you're going to have rest, He wants you to remember what He did for you. He wants you to remember His great love for you. And it wasn't just on the cross. That was the greatest expression of that love. But every day, we have something to be thankful for, and that God is still allowing us here on this earth to serve Him. We don't know the number of days. Our time might be up tonight, could be up tomorrow, it could be up next month or next year. We don't know. But one thing we do know is, so long as we are here, we shouldn't clog our minds with all sorts of things that would hinder us, would hurt us, make us feel bad, when all those things can be turned over to the Lord. One of the instruments that God uses when you really take time aside and pray, and I've had a lot of people testify about this, that they've come to me and said, "Pastor, am I crazy? Why is this happening?" They'll take a rest, and the Lord will bring up something that happened to them years and years ago. Hadn't even thought about it in years. And suddenly there it is right in front of them. It's as if they had done it yesterday. And it was something wrong. And there they are, confronted with this, and they say, "You know, preacher, I thought I was forgiven of all my sins." Well, we are. But we still have a memory. And in that memory, God sometimes uses events that have taken place to teach us something so that we can prepare for something similar happening later on. And so the memory that the Holy Spirit brings up when you are rested is going to help you. You're going to learn something from it. You're going to be blessed. It's going to help you to face what is tomorrow. But the memories that people generally bring up on their own when they're under stress are memories that are bad. They hurt us. They get us emotional. They stir us up in anger or grief or something like that. And that isn't what God wants from a time of rest. We need to focus our mind, and there's that Philippians 4 passage again. We need to be thinking on certain things. And God sets down what those things are, what He wants us to think about. And when we do, then we can have joy and we can have peace. Have you ever wondered, well, I have, about Christians in the early church who were under attack constantly? I mean, their lives were literally threatened every day. At any point, the Roman soldiers could come along, arrest them, take away their kids, bring the people to an area up in Rome where they would fight in the Colosseum. How were these people able to have a joy, a peace about them? You look at the Apostle Paul. Now, you know, responsibility is a serious thing. If you're a parent, you have responsibilities. If you're a husband or a wife, you have responsibilities. If you work someplace, you have responsibilities that go along with your job. But we have responsibilities, every one of us as Christians. And when those responsibilities become so awesome, in other words, you're doing somebody else's job, not only one person's, but maybe a couple people's jobs, sometimes the devil tempts you with the idea that, "Oh, that's too much, you can't handle that." And one of the things that has always amazed me is a scripture, and I can't go to it right now, but some of you may remember it, where Paul says that we are joyful exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation. Here's the Apostle Paul, who had the responsibility for how many pastors? Who had the responsibility for how many churches around the world? And there he was with all this responsibility. He had people who hated him, wanted to kill him. He was constantly under attack from the Romans, who were trying to jail him at every place that he went. And he did end up in prison and home arrest on numerous occasions. He was beaten within an inch of his life. He had to depend upon the world's transportation. And if you think American Airlines or some of these other airlines are kind of scary, you should compare that to the ships that Paul was on. Twice he was shipwrecked. So you'd think he'd change cruise lines, but it didn't work that way. And so there he was, all this stress upon him. And yet he comes out with this statement. And I know some people say, well, that's impossible. But he said, I am exceedingly joyful in all our tribulations. Can you have rest with all the stress? Yeah. Can you break away from it long enough to unload all those things before God? Yes. And this is what God wants us to do. There's another scripture that says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Casting all your care upon Him. And that doesn't mean holding back. You know, it's real easy to take 10 or 15 minutes out of your day and say, Lord, I'm turning everything over to you. But you're not. I mean, quit kidding yourself. In 10 or 15 minutes, it's impossible to turn everything that you're burdened with, everything you're stressed about, over to the Lord. You're not going to do it. But if you have a whole day where you just set aside time and say, Lord, step by step, whatever is on my heart that is stressing me, things that I may not even be aware of, Lord, I want you to reveal it so I can turn it over to you. You're more likely to get the job done in a period of a day than you would be in 10 or 15 minutes. And this is why Jesus got away by himself, alone. Because there were all sorts of things that would interrupt his thoughts, all sorts of things that would hinder the Father speaking to him. And here's where all of us have to do the hard thing. Unplug things. Turn them off. Get away from those things. I'm not talking about even leaving the house, unless it's necessary. But I am talking about getting away from all these things that distract us and actually encourage us to hold on to stress. God wants His people to be examples of His peace. A lot of Christians don't understand what the peace of God is because they haven't had it in so long. They had it when they first got saved because God took all their sins, washed them away. And boy, they came away from that so thankful, praising God. They had never felt so light and so joyful in all their lives. And it's been a long time for a lot of people because they never felt like that since. And little by little, it piles up and it piles up, and the stress and all the difficulties, it seems they affect you. And here's something to remember too. If you're stressed in your physical body, it's going to affect your soul and spirit. If you are stressed in your spirit, it's going to affect your physical body and your soul. If you're stressed in your soul, and there's your mind, then you're going to be stressed in your physical body and your spirit. All of them interact. You just can't take one. You've got to make it a complete thing. And that's when you look at that verse that we started with, Matthew chapter 11, you see that, where he included every part of the person, the soul, the spirit, the body. Come unto me, ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. We need that. We need that more than you may realize. What kind of a testimony is it when a Christian tells a lost person, "Oh, I have so much on me, I don't know what I'm going to do. Oh, I'm just carrying such a heavy burden constantly. I don't know what I'm going to do." What do you think that says to a lost person? "Man, I got enough of my own. I don't need yours too." I mean, beside that, it says, "Whatever you got, I don't need it, because I've got my own." Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Make it a complete job. Body, soul, spirit. Let's bow in a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we thank You today that You have the answers to what we need. Father, You're able to make us aware of how much we're able to take, and then when it gets so overwhelming, as it does many times in this world, we need that refreshing that can only come from You. Father, so many people carry around heavy burdens that they ought not to be carrying. They should have been turned over to You a long time ago, but there they are, still carrying them around. And Father, we know that there are so many aspects of our lives that are tempted every day. And Lord, we can receive the victory and the power over these things when we are refreshed by Your Spirit. Fill us with Your oil, Your Spirit, that we can go ahead and accomplish things for Your glory. Father, we thank You for each person that's here tonight. Bless them. Work through each one that knows You as Savior. And if there is anyone here tonight who doesn't know You, Lord, I pray that You'd motivate their hearts to put their faith in You, to trust You with their whole heart, and Lord, receive that gift of salvation, the forgiveness of sin, eternal life that You want to provide for them. And these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Trust we'll see you on Wednesday.